Dakota County Board of Equalization and Dakota County Board of Commissioners, Monday, January 28, 2019, 1 o'clock and 1:02 p.m. It was in the email too, wasn't it?
It was last week.
It was an email this time too.
It was an email packet, yeah.
One o'clock, Kevin.
I don't have my cell phone again.
Thank you.
Sheriff's making a couple more copies, so.
That's okay.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will. You can already hear that.
Okay.
We will call the Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting to order. It is January 28th, 2019. It's about 1:02 p.m. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and we will start with roll. Joan?
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
The current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will start with the consent agenda items. And A, the approval of previous minutes for January 14th, 2019. Okay, motion by Tony and...
I'll second.
Second by Janet.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. We'll move on to new business. New business A, the public hearing for the purpose of hearing oral and or written testimony from the qualifying organization seeking tax exemption as a charitable organization. VSL Emerson, LLC, parcels 22000, 1332 and 22010737 8. So we will hear testimony on this.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank you for allowing us to speak today. I know we have limited time, excuse me, but I want to introduce myself and those in attendance with myself. Representing VSL Emerson LLC as DBA Heritage of Emerson. Carl Bieber, he works at our home office and directly supports our facility, Heritage of Emerson. And Shelley Huggenberger is here to represent her facility as the administrator at Heritage of Emerson. Myself, I'm Brian Stewart. Similar to Carl, I work at our home office and provide support to our facilities. To begin, I want to point out that VSL Emerson LLC is owned by a 501c3 entity. We have shown, tested, and proved to the IRS that we have certain attributes that receive a status based on the IRS revenue ruling, 72-124. This also exemplified by our organizational documents as discussed in page 3 of our original application. We understand that in Nebraska, the Nebraska Supreme Court applying the state's tax-exempt laws has found that both nursing homes and assisted living facilities can have tax-exempt status. That precedence was actually established in the state of Nebraska in the court cases of Lutheran Good Samaritan Society versus City of Gage and Bethesda Foundation versus City of Saunders, which were both cited in our original application on Schedule B, page 2. In addition, this has been codified in the Department of Revenue regs, specifically at Title 350, Chapter 40-005, and I'd be more than happy to provide those if you'd like copies of those. Under that Department of Revenue reg in Chapter 40-05, there are five criteria that must be satisfied for that property to be tax-exempt. Ownership, exclusive use, no financial gain or profit, restricted alcohol liquor sales, and prohibited discrimination. Our original filing goes through each of those five criteria, but here I think the only issue is exclusive use. That is whether the property is exclusively used for charitable purposes. In the assessor's recommendation, they cited 40-005.04E. However, that section states a qualifying organization owns a building which is used for office space and leases a portion of the building to a private law firm. The portion leased to the private law firm is not used exclusively for tax-exempt purposes and is not eligible for an exemption. We do not believe that this section applies. Rather, we believe that this exemption request should be reviewed under 40-005.04J. At 40.005.04J, there is an example provided as a guideline to determine whether a property is exclusively used for charitable purposes, which is taken from the case law. It states, a qualifying organization owns a healthcare facility which is made up of a nursing home and assisted living housing. The organization does not pre-screen the applicants for financial ability prior to admission. The criteria for admission are the need for healthcare due to age, ill health, or physical disability. The facility meets the definition of healthcare facility and or assisted living facility under Nebraska law. All residents are permitted to remain in the facility regardless of their ability to pay for the services provided. In this case, the property is allowed an exemption because the property is used exclusively for charitable purposes. If we go through each item set forth in this example, you'll see that the facility satisfies each one of those. It does not pre-screen applicants for financial ability. The criteria for admission is solely needed for health, which is recognized as a charitable cause and use due to age, ill health, or physical disability. This facility does meet the definition of a healthcare facility under Nebraska law and is so licensed as a healthcare facility. And residents are permitted to remain in the facility regardless of their ability to pay. In fact, we are licensed for 38 beds currently. They are all Medicaid certified. And of the 33 current residents we serve, 21 of those are on Medicaid. Unfortunately, Nebraska Medicaid reimbursement does not cover the cost of care, so we lose an average of $35 to $42 per day on each Medicaid resident we serve. I do have additional fiscal year financial losses based on the last fiscal year in current operation for current year, should you feel that's necessary information. Based on the information I presented and based on the legal precedents already established in the state of Nebraska, I would graciously ask the Board of Equalization to approve our application for real estate and personal property tax exemption from BSL Emerson LLC. I'm more than happy to answer any questions that you may have for myself or any of my colleagues in attendance.
How many facilities do you have?
Currently, we have 25 in the state of Nebraska owned by Vetter Senior Living.
And have you brought this to the various boards in those other counties?
For 12 of those we have that we're allowed to do. What really brought this was about was basically back in July 1 of 2017, Jack and Eldora Vetter, they wanted the company to live on in perpetuity. We serve a lot of rural communities in Nebraska, but we also serve metro areas as well. When we made that transition, basically they decided they did not want the company sold. That just bad things happen typically when companies sell and they close facilities. So we chose to, or Jack and Eldora, who are the sole owners, chose to basically gift this entire company into a nonprofit. Many of those facilities, half of those facilities approximately, couldn't be transitioned right away because of the debt load that was on them, and therefore they were not able to transition right away. Those that were able to transition over, yes, we did apply across those counties.
Okay.
So this is not in any different than the other 501c organization. So.
Okay. I guess right now I don't have any other questions for him.
I don't either. Any questions?
Okay. Janet, did you have anything you need covered?
No, not really.
Okay.
So it's a charitable nonprofit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Larry, do you have anything?
Maybe. Is there any part of that structure or establishment going to generate or be leased out or rented and generate revenue?
As far as VSL Emerson?
Yeah.
We don't lease any portion of the buildings, the entire building, because it's owned by VSL Emerson, but we don't lease out typically ever a portion of the building because there's resident rooms. We care for the residents that we serve. maybe I'm misunderstanding the question.
I think that's it.
Okay.
I was wondering if the portion of it was considered a profitable organization rather than a nonprofit. But it's all a nonprofit.
It's all a nonprofit. Yeah, the entire entity was deeded into the nonprofit.
So how do they stay in business if they lose money every month?
Well, it's a tough one. So Better Senior Living, the parent organization, there are facilities that are profitable. And so those facilities, normally those facilities are not in the nonprofit. Those facilities help support those facilities that are unable to make a profit. So our goal is to always, again, to keep those facilities a viable option in those communities we serve. So an Emerson or another rural community may not be making money, but that's okay. We want to make sure we continue serving those residents in that community. We feel it's a right and obligation by us to do so.
Thank you. All right. Well, right now I don't think we have any other questions.
So. Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And then does anyone else have any testimony for or against this? Okay. Thank you, Chairman. No. Okay. We will move on to B, which was the approval or deny for the request, and that was parcels 22001332 and 22201073778, and that is going to be moved into our next Board of Equalization meeting, which 11th is going to be February 11th at 1 p.m. So we'll move on to C, Bob Giese requesting approval of exemption of motor vehicle taxes for the Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership for the following vehicles used at staff to attend meetings and other activities for early Head Start programs: a 2016 Dodge Grand Caravan, VIN ending in 8050, 2016 Dodge Caravan, VIN ending in 2859, and a 2002 Chevy Venture van, VIN ending 2361. And I do not see Bob. You want to try calling down to his office, or?
Well, that's just a normal procedure.
It's technically required to be here, but.
Required to be here?
Christy's going to go check on him. So until she's back, we will wait. She's up on D.
We could let them know that we're not making the decision today.
Okay. We're going to vote on your motion. It'll be at the February 11th meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Because Bob has to present this, doesn't he? We can't vote on it without him presenting it.
I don't know.
No?
If he's not here, we will, I guess. But the statute requires him to be in attendance when there's a motor vehicle exemption application.
Can a representative from his office?
Mm-hmm.
I think we can find one.
Maybe Christy will do that.
It's this 1 o'clock meeting time. He's throwing everyone off.
Probably.
Michelle, we changed the time of our meeting times in the one area in the star where it has all the different meetings, a different organization that meets. That one didn't get changed.
Thank you.
So if you want to just make note of that. It was brought to my attention by Tony.
Don't blame him. Mm-hmm. I look at it.
Yeah, that's true. You know how you know when it's windy, Larry? Tony doesn't show up in a cowboy hat.
Yeah, I saw him. He looked like Santa Claus earlier in a stocking cap.
No way, Larry. Mm-hmm. Well, Bob Keaton, he was here on. I got to you. He's in lunch.
They had that legislative one today, too, wasn't it? This airport.
It's a pretty normal procedure, isn't it, John?
It is.
I mean, we've done it.
I'm not sure what Christmas.
We've done it before, so we can go ahead. Want me to go to you? It's up to you, Chair. But we can approve. We've done this before. Just up to you, to the Chair.
I'd feel more comfortable having Bob or
okay,
at least someone from his office. Jolene, okay. Maybe.
Good idea.
Have you guys gotten the Narcan deals from the Region 4 that
we bought them?
You bought them? Because they're supposed... I'm going to have to get you in touch with them.
We've got them, but we got some prior to that.
Okay.
That we bought. But we've got the donated ones for us.
Okay, good. Did you see where they used
one on are here, so
like an officer?
So do you want to go ahead and call for... A motion.
Do we have to have this approved?
Yes.
Today?
Yes, it has to be done in January. That's when their vehicles are plated.
Okay.
It is.
We've done it last year, and the year before that.
Okay.
Yes.
Please.
Jolene didn't realize the meeting got changed. So bear with me and help me. The bank totals $4,000,002.
No.
Tell me what to do.
No, this was...
The vehicles.
Yeah, about the vehicles.
She didn't tell me about that either. All right, what am I doing here?
C.
Well, basically, this is just... Bob, you...
Haven House has requested...
The exemption.
Oh. North is not Haven House. Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership
is requesting to be exempt for three of their vehicles.
Okay, and they're the.
I have two 2016 Dodges, and a 2002 Chevy. Okay, used by the staff to attend meetings and other activities for the early Head Start and Head Start programs.
We go ahead and make a motion to. Exempt those vehicles for Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership that you just mentioned. So that's my motion.
Second that. Okay. Got a motion by Tony and second by Larry.
Janet? S. Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yeah. So much rain down here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and then we will move on to D. Jeff Curry requesting approval of tax list corrections on mobile home parcels 22019959, 22019959. That was 2017 and 2018. 22019970 2017, 22019970 2018, and 22019833.
Yes. And so these are all trailers that they neglected to come in and pay up the taxes on before they got rid of. We found them on court reports. So we've been going through the court reports and going through. So there's nothing there to collect on.
No money.
So we just went ahead and to save time and distress warrant time for Randy, we just went ahead and corrected off the taxes and corrected them to zero. And I'm sure there'll be some more because we haven't got Lake Village yet and we're having some issues with them.
Okay. I think that's... pretty clear.
So it'll save time and effort on Randy's part to have to go out and serve distress warrants on nothing that's there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I need a motion to approve or deny the tax list corrections on those following parcels.
I'd make a motion to do that.
Okay. Motion from Marty and a second by Tony.
Marty?
Thank you, Chrissy.
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, we're waiving this amount on the left hand side, those amounts.
Yeah. Yeah, it cost us more to try to collect it than what it is. Okay. We'll move on to mail and or emergency business. I do not believe we have any of that. We'll move on to public comment for the Board of Equalization. There's no public comment, then we are going to adjourn at 1:22.
All right, at which time we'll start our regular commissioners meeting. Current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. First, we'll start with public comment. If anybody has public comment of anything that's not on the agenda, we'll do roll call first.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yep.
All right. So then we'll go ahead and go to public comment. You get a lot less of this now, Larry, that you're sitting up here.
Well, I could.
All right. We'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of previous minutes from January 14th, 2019. Approval of payroll claims. Approval of accounts payable, approval of official reports, clerk, register of deeds, clerk of district court, jail, sheriff, quarterly reports, and veterans service office quarterly reports. Tony came in earlier and we sat down and went through the claims and the accounts payable. At this point, everything seemed to be in order. So look for a motion to approve the consent agenda item.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes. A, here on new business, I don't believe Pat's here. We've done this in the past. Is that something that we can do without her present, or should we just wait till she is able to make it?
You want to read it?
Yeah. Yep. Whereas the United States was founded upon the principle that all people are created with inalienable rights to freedom and added the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, making slavery illegal, whereas slavery within the United States today is most often in the form of forced labor and sexual trafficking, which weakens our social fabric, increases violence, organized crime, and debases humanity. Whereas this problem is found within our community, whereas every business, community organization, faith, community, family, individual can make a difference by choosing products that are not made by forced labor, by working to protect young people from sexual exploitation, and addressing the problem of internet sex trafficking, pornography, and become more aware of the problem and possible solutions. Therefore, the Dakota County Board of Commissioners acknowledged January as Slavery and Human Trafficking Awareness and Prevention Month and encourages all citizens to become more familiar with the problem and work towards a solution. Proclaim this 28th day of January 2019.
I make a motion to from the Board of Commissioners to adopt the proclamation as a land coalition and influence the patients for a non-January.
I'll second that. Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right. Kara Larvik, Extension Educator, University of Nebraska, present the Board Local Extension Programs in the 2018 Financial Summary. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, Joan, I have two extra. I'm going to give you one now. I'm going to look at the other one. My name is Carol Marvick. I work for the University of Nebraska. I worked here in Dakota County for, let's just say, quite a long time. So I've been here since 1981. And I've worked for the university and Dakota County since then. So yearly, we put together a packet that we put on file with the commissioners, and I've already given that packet to Joan. And so the financial report is included in that packet. If anybody would like to see it, they can talk to her, or I can get you a copy later. But I thought what would be of interest to all of you is just a little bit about who Extension is, because most people know us by 4-H, and we're a whole lot more than 4-H. Although we still love 4-H, last night we had 4-H Achievement Night. We were at the YMCA, and we had Dixon and Dakota counties together, and we had well over 100 people attend and went swimming and did awards. We have quite a bit more. So you can peruse through the packet on your leisure, but I would like to have you look at the page that is the map. Most of you would know in our office there's a 4-H person, there's me, we have a county office manager, Tammy, who you pay her salary. The other salaries are paid through the state of Nebraska. But if you look there, we actually have quite a few more people that service Dakota County than just the few of us that house in this office. We've used Kathleen Q quite a bit. She helps us with the community orchard. She's helping with a school project, a variety of different things going on there. Julie Boyle is new. She is located in our office, and she's on a grant program working with after-school kids on science, engineering, technology issues. Jill Sockness is 25% Nebraska, 75% Iowa. She's working with underserved audiences. And Angela has done 4-H. She's been here a while. Myself, I basically work in food, nutrition, and health, focusing on food safety. And matter of fact, I'm in a food safety class right now, and my other teacher is teaching the part that I usually teach at this hour, so I could be with you. And we have several others there that do it too. The next page is just three of the highlights of last year. And I'd like you to turn on to the page that says Dakota County Voices for Food. One of the things that I think we've made a real impact in the county is 9,200 pounds of produce collected and distributed mainly through the food pantries, the senior center, to families in need. These are people that when they go to the food pantries usually don't have fresh food, and we all know that fresh food is more nourishing than packaged food. So that's something that was started through a federal grant that our office did, and now is a community project, and they've received quite a bit of extra money from that. The next pages of those of us who are in the office full time, we've put in a page from each of us of the highlights of what we do, and then past that is a variety of the things of the programs that we've done in the past year. If you have any questions, I would sure be glad to answer them. Wanted to kind of catch you up on what we were doing. And I also wanted to tell you that this is the 150th anniversary of the University of Nebraska starting. And if you've heard about the kids' book, Flat Stanley, well, the University of Nebraska is doing a Flat Herbie. And so I was wondering if you would take a picture with Flat Herbie today for me.
We'd love to.
Wonderful, wonderful. So who would like to hold him, and can we have you, would it be okay to have you all stand together?
Yeah, I want you guys to come up. Everybody step up here and get a picture with Flat Herbie. Come here. Come here, Tony. Come on, Joan. Come on, Joan.
We might need it for later, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, we didn't hear it close.
Wonderful. I have the phone on silent, so even though it doesn't sound like I'm taking pictures, I've got three. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Good luck, Flat Herbie. Good luck.
Yeah.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
Community garden collection, you know, when you distribute those, where does that produce come from?
Well, the Voices for Food Project, they actually started a community garden that Marion Kane is behind her.
Behind her business area.
Right. And then they also have a plot of land out, and I'm not sure exactly where it is, where they grow potatoes and things like that.
Oh, nice.
Then they have many gardeners that will add to that.
Mm-hmm.
I know they've had a farmer that's added sweet corn to it. Just a whole variety of people have donated.
Oh, great.
In the future, we'll probably have donations from the community orchard in South Sioux City.
Mm-hmm.
It's about ready to start producing. I think we got about 3 5-gallon buckets of apples last year. So in the next couple of years, that should increase quite a bit.
Plus, that's right where the train crosses the river there along the side.
Yeah.
There?
Yeah. It's just on the north side.
You bet.
We just got a $10,000 grant through the Statewide Arboretum to add more plants to orchard. So if you've not been out to the orchard, that's kind of one of my pet projects.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
All
right.
Good.
Good. Good work.
One more quick question.
Yes. Yeah.
So we do have a Beyond the Bell program at the Sioux City Schools.
We do have
Beyond the Bell. We do have Beyond the Bell.
Yes, we do have Beyond the Bell at South Sioux City Schools.
Okay.
Beyond the School Bells is the organization in Nebraska that kind of brings them all together.
Okay.
And that's the person in our office that's a grant-funded person. She's working for Beyond the School Bells.
Okay.
And she has a trailer that's full of all sorts of STEM stuff. Right now she's in the office sorting stuff to be able to go out. But she goes about 3 days a week, and then the other 2 days, the people who work at that particular site get to use the trailer, and it stays at each elementary school either 2 or 3 weeks each semester.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Then in the summer she'll do other programming with it. Any other questions?
Other than the study, who funds this?
Well, we're funded by the county. That would fund our office manager and our operating costs and the location where we're at. Then the state of Nebraska, through the University of Nebraska, funds like my salary and most of the educators' salaries. We do have some that are grant funded. Brenda Sale, who actually is doing the Voices for Food, she's a federal grant person. She works with helping people eat better, basically, through nutrition grants, through Health and Human Services, that the University of Nebraska has that grant. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right. Next, we need to approve the Dakota County 2019 plan document for employee health benefits reflecting the January 1st plan year. Basically, it's just rolling that over to where we're all in line with all the other insurances, making it as the first of the year.
Well, I'll make that motion.
I second it.
Do we have anybody review it? I mean, I guess if Kim could review a document like that when they make changes, or is that the only changes that were substantive?
I don't know that he got that as an attachment. It was so big that it kept getting rejected.
Mm-hmm.
With some changes in the subrogation section.
I thought I sent it out by itself so that it would be sent to everyone.
I mean, if it was just dates, I'm fine with it. I just noticed some highlights in another section that I wanted to make sure we're in line with what we...
Wow. So I know where she wanted to see it, or did you read the whole report or the whole...
No, they highlighted this. There were two sections that were highlighted with adjustments and changes on their processes, their reimbursement processes and things like that.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that somebody that... Maybe you could give a committee on insight that or on site that looks at it or not really.
In years past, we haven't. Is this something that we want to review before our next meeting? Is this something that has to be done today, Joan?
Probably not.
Do it the original.
I can try to send it to you again.
Right. We're gonna.
I can probably just pull it up, too.
Depending on how long it is, I don't think I could review it right.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just go ahead
and... It's a page or two.
It's just a page.
If you want to take longer than a little bit to look at it.
Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and just roll the back door next minute.
Okay.
So the IMC is going to table for the next meeting, Chair?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and table that for our next meeting. Give Kim a chance to review that.
Okay.
Next, we need to approve the agreement between Dakota County, Nebraska, and the Department of Motor Transportation to the county surveyor tie and reestablish monuments as necessary for project number NH27116 in Jackson, CN31817A, the project out at Jackson. Our surveyor goes out and reestablishes any points they need so they can start the construction they're going to do in that area.
You know, that really surprised me because many times as a state, we've been on Highway 20 over the years. I mean, those guys, and it'd be a half a dozen of them. It would look to me like by now they should ought to know where every pin is from South Sioux to O'Neill, Nebraska.
You would think. This is something that our surveyor does, and then...
But what's the cost to us? I mean, how much you see?
My understanding is that the cost is taken care of by the state of Nebraska. Is that correct, Joan?
Well, that's a good deal, then.
Yeah.
Boy, you can't go wrong with a project like that.
Nebraska actually
I figure we'd be
covers that.
About $15,000 for a survey.
No. We're good there.
That's super.
Yeah.
Tim Lamprecht actually estimated zero tie-out for the Jackson project.
Yeah.
It's just in town only, and there were no corners. There's no corners. And so he estimated zero for that. So they just will send that in that we don't think there's going to be any corners that will be
impacted.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So I would make a motion that we approve the agreement between Dakota County and Nebraska Department of Transportation with regard to that case.
Okay.
Second.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Next, we have basically the same thing on a different project. Approve the agreement between Dakota County and Nebraska, the Nebraska Department of Transportation, to have the county surveyor tie out and reestablish monument as necessary for project number NH35-4125, Hubbard Southwest, CN32150.
And Mr. Lamprecht has estimated 11 tie-outs on that. What he did was overlay the county over the project and lined up the corners and estimated 11. So we will be refunded once the project is done and he files the survey with the actual ones that he had to tie out and then remonument. Then I send that invoiced.
That's surprising me.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get
it's $100 a tie out and $100 to reestablish the monument. Tim says it's not worth his time. He loses money doing it, but.
Oh.
That's all the state will pay, authorized.
So there's 11 between Hubbard and the edge of the...
Right. Or 6, because... No, you're right, 11, because we it's 1,100 to tie out on 1,100 to remonument.
Well, don't the state have the authority to set a monument in the county?
I think it has to be our surveyor's cap.
On must it. Have to be, because they've been out on 35, too. They spent a whole year out there.
It's been that way.
And this, last year.
And this project is, well, I put a map in your packets between Emerson and Hubbard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long do we have to do it? Does it ever say? Or
does he works. He works with them. You
okay.
know,
when, works
yeah.
at the terms.
Yeah, works with them when their project is done, and they let them know to.
Has that been bid yet? It was in the paper, advertised.
That I don't know.
All right. Do we have a motion? Second it.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes. All right. Next, Fred Kellogg, our Highway Superintendent, for his report.
Good afternoon. January 13th through the 26th, 145 hours of toll road maintenance, tree and debris removal, 75 hours. 11 hours of snow removal, gravel hauled, 961 tons, signs, 7.5 hours. Road concerns, had one call. It was recorded for gravel on Ithaca Way.
The gravel you're hauling out, Fred, you guys stockpile it or you?
We haul, we have some stockpile. Try it's got it's dwindled down. We try and keep some there just in case we ever have an emergency coming up weekends, whenever. We have some available, so we try and haul it out as you said this time of year.
I ran into a couple of your guys today going into the old fire hall there and was talking to them. It looks like that facility was working out pretty good for them. And I know that they had mentioned that they had put new guts in the toilet there and that had been running. So I appreciate those guys keeping an eye on things and taking care of it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Sheriff Feinberg. Nice to see you here this week.
Good afternoon. I apologize for that last week, Mr. Chairman. For the month of December, average per day of county inmates are 91, federal 24, 0 for juveniles, stolen houses 115. 2018 calendar average 89, federal 20, juveniles 0.06, 109 total in house. Fiscal average inmates per day averaging about 87, federal inmates 0.02, excuse me, for juveniles 113 in house. So December marshals brought in 44,395, ICE 7,511, BIA 260. So December federal contracts is 52,000. Fiscal marshals, 263,000. Fiscal ICE, 70,000. And BIA, 1,400. So fiscal federal so far, 335,336. 2018 calendar federals, 535,332, which is more than what I thought. That's a lot bigger than years past. December county contracts, these are people other than 4,129 and fiscal county contracts, 34,133. So cost per day per inmate for the month of December was at 5834. We spent 209,000 for the month of December. The jail is 49% of the total estimated yearly budget. We're 1% under that so far. It was at 50%. Last year at this time, we spent $8,515 more than allotted for December, which is 4% over budget for the month. December bookings, Sheriff's Office 22, PD 32, 0 for the NSP, and self-arrest 15, Feds 33, and other 1.
the next column over there just kind of sums all that up for the month. Dakota County, 30. Other Nebraska agencies, 23. Sioux City, 23. Other Iowa areas, 22. Other states, 3. And homeless, 2.
Price per inmate looks like it's staying really consistent through the last quarter.
I wish it was lower,
but staying.
Yeah, it seems to be. December we shot up from the month before. I am still waiting for a proposal from a new medical provider that's a little more local, just a little smaller. He would have done that by now. He was supposed to have done that by now, but his problem is getting his medical license in Nebraska. He's actually out of Minnesota, and he's got it in Iowa. And from what I hear from the doctor people I know in Nebraska, that's a very long process. So yeah. We re-signed contract here in about the next month with ACH, who's currently providing our medical health care for the jail. I was hoping to get something prior to that because I think this guy is going to be a little more hands-on, a little less expensive. But I'll let you know if we ever get to that. Just waiting. There isn't a lot of companies that provide it.
Is it a one-year contract if we extend with the other?
I think it's a two-year contract, but I don't think that it that would affect me changing it to a one-year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
Good job.
All right. Robert Giese, Treasurer, to present 2018-19 fund balance, six-month accumulated report from July through December 2018, request the board approval, chair to sign said report 23-1605.
Hi, I'm filling in for Bob.
All right.
This is something we have to come the 6 months before every 6 months. Bank totals are running about the same, maybe a little bit more right now. Inheritance tax rate building up again. It's been a little, that's up to $604,000 now, so that's about it.
Yeah. Anybody got any questions?
No, it's got them dry.
Yeah.
It is.
Thank Not you. Much change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Link. You better look than Bob. You better come on.
Don't tell him.
Sexual harassment. Is that what it is? Okay, then. I listen to you.
All right.
Request board approved chair to sign said report.
All right. I would go ahead and make a motion that we...
No, it should be somebody else to approve you.
Okay.
Request a report?
Yes.
The semi-annual one?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't make a motion.
I make a motion. We accept it.
Uh-huh.
I'll second that.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Jenna?
Yeah.
Yeah, approve the resolution 19C-002 to appoint county representative to governing board of Dakota County Public Safety Agent Service Agency.
What happened was Marty appointed himself as on that committee, but the actual interlocal agreement that we have with them states that it has to be by resolution.
So we made a resolution.
And you're approving Marty to sit on...
What that board is the board that was established when they went to the half-cent sales tax to fund the fire halls in the county.
Okay.
And they'll go ahead and keep convening probably twice a year until the time that those funds are... the time of that bond is run and it's been paid.
So we need to appoint Mari officially as a group.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Second.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
We have the board's going to make their jail visit after this, so we'll do that. In the meantime, commissioner committee reports. I did go over and meet with the safety committee. They just kind of filled me in on what their purpose is and what they do. So I was sat in on that. It was pretty interesting. And it seems that the sales tax are covering the cost of those fire halls at this point. So, and before the time of the half cent runs out, they should be paid for. That's their hope anyway. Also met with the Region 4 over in Norfolk last week and had a lot of good information. A couple of things, I talked to the sheriff just before, they have started distributing Narcan kits for their law enforcement in the area and also first responders for people that overdose on opioids. It's a short time since they've started doing it. They've already had a couple of, a little bit of feedback where they've been used a couple of different times. One of them was on a Lincoln police officer who was doing a search and was overcome by fentanyl. And they used one of him. So it's a pretty good deal. Also, they had talked, the head trainer for the area that goes out to different law enforcement agencies and jails and such and puts on training, had received a response from an officer who had taken the training, had arrived in a spot for somebody that was suicidal, and the officer wrote back that he had taken the training before, had gone through the steps, had de-escalated the situation, a situation where they got Heartland counseling and family members involved, and were able to come to a resolution without an emergency committal to Norfolk, which used to be common practice, and it was Lieutenant Chernock from South Sioux that had done that, and he just said that it was really nice to have feedback from law enforcement, so, because so often you go out and you get that training and you don't get a lot of feedback. So he thought that Dakota County is pretty proactive with regards to that, so that was kind of a nice feather in their hat. Our hat.
I went to the NCRD, RC...
Indeed. Yeah, it's hard to...
Conservation District, basically.
Yeah.
Natural Resources Conservation District meeting right after we met last time, and it looks like they are going to be doing a couple of events in Dakota County that are intended to encourage conservation and what they're looking at is potentially having Dakota City host a household hazardous waste collection and having Homer host an e-waste, which is electronics waste collection. So I don't know that the details have been worked out, but they did decide to try to have those two events in Dakota County in those communities, but they have other options. You know, they can look at other options as well.
That's cool.
Good.
Did you have your first health committee meeting, Larry?
What?
Health committee? Did you guys have a meeting?
No, I think it's today.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. It is today. Okay.
And I have...
you attend that recycle, or is that today?
That's today, the Northeast Nebraska, or no.
KNNB.
KNN, with Keep Nebraska.
Beautiful.
Northeast Nebraska View. Okay, that one's today at 4, so I'll go today at 4. Yeah. It's hard to get these letters straight.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mail and emergency business.
There's one piece of mail that came out, and I'll copy this and send it out to everybody. I received it Friday. The city of Dakota City is notifying us that on February 7th in their council chambers, they're going to have a public meeting. Public meeting is on February 4th.
February 4th.
To tip some ground. So I looked up the parcels that they're going to tip and did just a little bit of mapping on what they're tipping. And it's the old city dump, 103 acres of Anderson Family Farms, and then this whole block here, including a Shelley Anderson.
So you might want to attend that hearing once that TIF is passed. Right now it has a value of $1,192,580.
And what time is that meeting on the 4th, John?
4 o'clock, they said.
6 p.m.
Oh, 6?
6 p.m. on February 4th, the City Council Chambers.
February 4th, 6 p.m. I got it
wrong. Okay. Well, they're having another meeting on February 7th at 6, also for the same thing. So they're having two meetings for the same thing.
What's the purpose of meetings?
It's just open to the public. Any input that you want to give or any questions you want to ask?
For what kind of project they're looking at or why they're wanting to...
Why they're wanting to TIF that ground. What they're doing is blighting it. They're doing a blight and substandard redevelopment area is what it will be.
I think it'd be nice for one of us to sit to attend that meeting and at least know what their plans are, you know, what they're going to build, what the price they're going to do, you know.
Who does the planning and zoning here there in that particular property? Is that county?
Is it?
South Sioux does Dakota Cities, I believe, the planning and zoning, or at least the, I guess, the inspection.
2 miles out.
What's that?
2 miles out.
But I'm not so sure that South Sioux doesn't have a contract with the city.
Well, they could
city.
Have here, yeah.
That I don't know.
I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know,
Larry.
I think they do. Because in dealing with the city in the past, I'm pretty sure that he said that he does come to Dakota City.
Yeah.
You can confirm that.
But I'm not going to bet money on it.
So that could be more property lost than tax revenue.
Yes.
Yeah, lost revenue. Anytime they TIF, you know, that's going to happen.
And I don't know, how would you stop it?
That's a good question.
So it's Tuesday, February 5th, 6th.
Yep.
There are 2 dates, so you can pick one together. Same topic.
February 4th or 7th. I'll send it out to you.
I'll try to hit one of them.
The only thing you can do, Larry, is talk to you, senator, you know. You've got to go through the legislation in order to... But I've done that, and there's nothing. You can get nowhere.
I know. It's just...
It is what it is.
We're the 8th. We're supposed to be the 8th most business-friendly state in the Union. You know why that is?
What?
Does anybody want to locate here? You give them everything there is.
Free.
See, I bet you when them guys from South Dakota come down here, built in Columbus or Schuyler or wherever it was going to employ 20 or 30 people. I bet they built the building and give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in Nebraska,
yeah.
Probably. Because ain't nobody be South Dakota. It goes to Nebraska. It's the other way around. We got more South Dakota plates than Dakota County than we do. Nebraska plate, practically. So anyway.
All right. Any other mail or emergency business, John? All right. At this time, we're going to go over to the county jail, and we will adjourn from there. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
You're good for another 2 years.